This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz coming to you from BayCare Ballpark here in Clearwater for Philly spring training. Our spring training coverage brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. I feel like I could use T-Mac's help on this. Tom McCarthy joins us, NBC Sports Philly. I was just saying to one of our devoted listeners, I personally need to get better at broadcasts like this. I'm very good in the studio where everything is where it is, right? But here, people are yelling,
Yeah, but for how many years did you make people go out and do this kind of stuff?
I know.
You should get really good at it.
But see, here's the thing, Tom. I can tell you, I did all I could to not have them out there.
Oh, really?
I wanted them in the studio.
I like it. I like having, the studio audience. I like having the energy of people around me. It's funny, when we do the open sometimes on TV, we'll have visitors come into the booth, and I've gotten Mike Schmidt to the point where he's okay with all these people being around because he gets so nervous about having people around.
Right.
And so I like having people around. I do.
You like doing the you guys do a game, right, out in center field?
I love doing the game in the stands. I think it's one of the greatest things we've ever done.
Us a great moment.
You know, honestly, catching the hot dog the next year with the net from the Fanatic was harder than catching the baseball. It was the weirdest thing in the world.
Yeah.
But I love being out in the stands. I love being out in the stands.
So here we are. You're looking ahead at a 162-game season.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine when you're going into a season, in your brain, you're thinking, this is the kind of season it's going to be. You know, when you're sitting here, when you're looking out at this season, What do you feel this kind of season is for the Phillies?
Well, I feel like, you know, obviously people wanted more additions made in the offseason, right? But my understanding going in was I thought we needed this, this, and this. And I felt like they accomplished that. I really did. Because otherwise, if they were going to get anything more, they would have had to trade, let's say, Alec Bohm, Bryson Stott, one of those guys, Nick Castellanos. There's a couple guys I don't know if they could have traded because you can't have $20 million at every position. You just can't do it. So I love the Lizardo pickup. I think it was an outstanding pickup. I actually like the under-the-radar Joe Ross pickup. I think that's going to be a great bridge from the rotation to the bullpen. I personally did not think we were the team to beat in the division last year. I still think we're the team to beat in the division this year. Even with the success the Mets had last year, how they got better with Soto, I still think we're a better team.
And the Braves will be, you would assume, would be healthy this year.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think they lost a lot with their pitching staff. I really did. I don't know how you guys feel about that. But I think they lost a lot with their pitching staff. And I think it's tough to underscore that. They're going to start a rookie at catcher for the first 6 weeks of the season. And I think that's going to be a big deal for them, too. But I still think we're positioned well. Again, to me, it's what are you going to do in the postseason? And I think that's the biggest thing.
Right. And you being down here, do you feel, you know, we've only been down here for a day, and we talked to Larry Boa earlier, and he said they seem bothered by how
last year. Oh, they're bothered.
Okay.
They are bothered by it. I think they're bothered. People ask about the chip on the shoulder. I think it's like a cavern on their shoulder. I really do. I don't think they'll tell you that. But I do think internally they feel like they have something to prove. I really do. Again, there's so much luck that's involved with winning a World Series. There's a lot of luck that's involved in winning the Super Bowl. I just think that they feel like they have left a lot on the table the last couple of years.
Yeah, what are some of the, storylines you're looking sort of to dive into as the season goes along?
I think today was one of the storylines, Ranger Suarez, and what he's going to do for a full year. He pitched well today. This was the first time he was out on the field. I think Lizardo healthy is a really big storyline. And I just think the consistency of this lineup and who's going to bat leadoff, I think the leadoff part of it is a really important piece and how that's going to then filter down the rest of the lineup. I think what you saw today, I don't know if Bohm would hit third, but I do think there could be some semblance of what you saw today as far as the Philly. I think Schwarber's going to be batting cleanup for the team. Jack, do you think Schwarber's going to bat cleanup?
Why are you saying that? Makes me excited.
Yeah.
It's the correct lineup. It's the correct lineup.
It feels like the natural lineup.
It's your correct lineup.
Well, and in my opinion.
I understand how many games you've won.
Well, 2-0 in the high school playoffs.
No, but yeah. I do think the way they're leaning right now, that this is the way it's going to look. I could be wrong, but I think Rob's going to lean that way.
Who is the make or break Philly?
That's a really good question. I want to say it's Alec Bohm in a lot of ways because I do think that it's important for him. I mean, he had 97 RBIs last year.
Yeah. And that's with, what, a 3 RBI June or July?
Yeah. So, but I think that those guys are the keys to this team, those offensive players. I think the Stotts, the Bohms. You know, I don't want to – I think I feel like my dad when I say it. I'm not worried about the other guys. I'm not. I really am not.
Sure.
But I think those guys, I think Stott, Bohm, you know, those pieces are really important to the success of this team.
Tom McCarthy with us, NBC Sports Philly. Of course, you can hear him during the game. So we talked about going into a season, you think it's going to be one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you think it's going to be one thing, and it's a complete other thing in the bad way.
Yeah.
Like the Philadelphia 76ers right now. So Kate's got Ala Abdelnaty go in there and are watching, doing this train wreck. How, as a broadcaster, how do you call those games? Not be, you can't do what we're doing, right?
Right.
And destroy the team every time.
You can't really make it a talk show. You really can't.
Right.
I always tell young broadcasters that too. Talk shows are talk shows. I think when you're doing a game, you do the game. I believe, and I did this, we did this, what, for a decade? I mean, they were not
sure,
good for a
yeah.
decade.
Yep.
Yeah.
I thought every game was a totally different canvas. That's how I went into it. So I tried to find storylines that would make it interesting for the listener without being abusive of, you know, of being the team's voice, because
sure.
we're all homers,
yeah.
whether we think we are or not. Mm-hmm. But I try to be as objective as I can. Sometimes it doesn't come across that way. I get that. But I do try to be as objective as I can.
What do you think of the ABS system?
I love it.
Just explain to the audience what that is real quick.
So the automated ball and strikes.
I think it's tremendous.
And it's really fast.
It's way better than I thought it was going to be. I think it's exactly what I wanted it to be. It's like tennis. When a ball is in or out in tennis, I don't know how many people watch tennis anymore, but it's like that. And it's way faster. I do believe that Major League Baseball, like they wanted to make sure it worked before they did anything. I think it works. And part of me wonders if they're thinking in their head, man, we should have just left it open to having it this year. They can't because of the umpires and the players and stuff like that. I think it's tremendous.
Yeah, it's like the...
It's not intrusive. It's not.
And there's still the human aspect. And there's going to be strategy of using the challenges too early.
No doubt.
You know,
I mean... It won't be like Trey Turner challenging Max Scherzer on the first pitch just because he wanted to bust his chops.
So. And you think that's better? So the NFL this year is basically going to do the first down electronically.
Correct.
So you think the ABS system is better than, hey, we have this system to tell them whether it's a ball or a strike, let's just do that.
I think that, I believe that, and believe me, I'm old school. I don't believe in a lot of changes of the rules. I think this is going to work, and I know that the umpires might be a little offended. The other day we had like 9 of them.
Oh, is there no limit on what they can do in spring
training? So you get two.
Oh, but if you
get it right.
If you get it right,
wrong,
you
yeah.
keep going.
Right.
So this poor umpire, he turns around and goes, the batter is challenging the ball call, like that. And he would get it right. And I could see it in his head. I can just picture it going, that's right. Pounding his chest in. That's right. I got it right. That's right.
They're going to start fist bumping.
Exactly.
I don't know how you don't.
I would love for that. I would love to see some more emotion with some of these guys. Like when they do they put the PA on, they'll go, the Phillies are challenging the safe call at first. And then when he gets it wrong or right, the umpire goes, yeah, we were right about that one. Yes, he's out.
Yeah, steal a little, what are the bananas or whatever?
Yeah,
bananas.
Well, that would drive, a lot of people crazy. But yes, something like that.
Not too much.
Yeah,
Come on, Jack.
Jack doesn't like the bananas.
Absolutely not.
You're young. I'm old. I like it. You should.
I'm an old soul.
Yes.
Father of two, Tom. Father of two.
Yeah.
Yeah,
father of four. What does that mean?
Yeah, exactly. What does that mean?
Do you think the Philadelphia fan base today is different than they were 20 years ago? And if so, how?
Well, I think they're – I would say no, they're not different.
Okay.
The only reason I think they're different is because they have more of a platform to voice their opinions.
Okay.
They have talk radio. They have social media. But I do believe this is the way it was. But it was in the privacy of their homes, at their pub, on the street, whatever it was. Yep. I think it's one of the most educated sports groups in the entire country. And you and I, Spike, you and I are both up in the New York area for a couple of years.
Yep.
I think that it sets itself aside from the other cities on so many different levels. And that's what I love about it.
Yeah, I mean, I said it when I was up there to my coworkers. New York's a good sports city. It's not Philadelphia.
It's not even close. Different about it. I mean, listen, they're passionate. But up there, you're a Yankee fan, you're a Mets fan. You're a Jets fan, you're a Giants fan. You're a Knicks fan, you're a Nets fan. You're a Devils fan, Rangers fan, Islanders fan. Here, you're a Philadelphia fan. Like, that's the – it's all against everybody else. Up there, it's – me against you, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
I just think it's I think they're the same. I just think they have more of a platform.
Yeah, there's a wave that happens in Philadelphia that doesn't happen in a lot of other cities. I think Boston is the only one that's similar.
That's exactly right. If you go to a Red Sox game, I don't know about Patriots. I've never sat in the stands at a Patriots game. I've only done them on television or radio. But I've been at a million Red Sox games. You can hear it. It's very similar to it. It really is.
The Dodgers are doing. Do you think that baseball at some point will say, come up with something, whether it's the deferred money thing, and say, hey, maybe not?
So we have this conversation all the time in my house. Because I've got, obviously, baseball guys in my house. I am shocked that nobody has stepped in and said, hey, man, you can't do this. Or nobody else has said, hey, man, let's do this. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't know if they'll ever step in and change it. I do think that there's conversations about how they're doing it, and you may hear it ring a little bit more truer around the sport world for teams that can do it. I don't know who else can do it, though, financially. I really don't. The Guggenheims, I mean, there's a lot of money involved there.
It's endless money, basically.
It's endless money, and I'm wondering if anybody can match it.
I actually think on some level it's good for the sport. I think when LeBron went to the Heat, I think it created an enemy for everyone to shoot for.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when the Cowboys were great in the 90s and the Patriots, I think baseball having one team that everyone's trying to take down, unless they rip off five straight World Series or something, which we all think is incredibly unlikely.
I agree with that.
How baseball works. I think it adds a little bit of sizzle for people who don't quite follow baseball in an everyday way.
Well, so I think if you have a best-of-seven series, obviously you can maintain – you can control the pitching a little bit. But I believe that this staff can match up against that staff if healthy and if they potentially do what they do. And I think that's a really big key. Now, it's funny. The other day I'm watching their game, and like they have the kid Kim from Korea, who I'm like, well, where did they get him?
They have too many.
Where are all these people going to play? They're not all going to play. So
Who's kind of caught your eye early in spring training?
Well, Rincones is unbelievable. And I don't know what he's going to be. I have no idea. I remember when he came here 3 years ago, and he was spindly. He was like 200 pounds. He's 240 now.
Oh, he looks like a football player.
Oh, he looks like a football player when you stand next to him. I'd be interested, like, if you stand next to him, honestly, and what your thought. He just looks – he's totally changed his body. To me, he's really – I think he's opened up. And that's obvious, I think, because he's hitting all these home runs. But even his batting practice, if you sit and watch his batting practice, I don't know if he can play defensively every single day. I mean, I'm hoping he can. But I think this is enticing to see him, Aiden Miller, Crawford, these guys, and what they're able to do. And Painter hasn't even thrown yet, but everybody that I've talked to said, just wait.
Yeah.
Just wait.
Yeah.
I stood next to Lizardo
Lizardo's a big dude.
Yeah, I felt a little ashamed of myself.
Yeah, a little too good looking.
Yeah,
and like,
I mean, put together pretty
very
good.
Fit.
Yeah.
Very fit.
Yeah, when he had his arms out, I was like, damn.
Hey, dude, seriously, though, but if you put yourself in an age group of fit,
yeah,
you're in a good spot. Like, if I put my age group in fit,
I guess you're right.
I'm not really in a good spot. Like, seriously. I mean, you know, I mean, Jack's an old soul, but if he put himself in fit, I mean, he could probably outrun everybody marathon-wise.
Yeah. Not today.
I guess.
He's down 20, everyone's
talking
about it.
From an endurance standpoint, he's certainly not.
What did you say?
I said, I'm down 20, everyone's talking about it.
Everybody in your household.
Yeah. A lot of buzz.
As long as you have their ear.
Yeah.
A lot of buzz.
You know who's talking about it?
Jack.
Yeah.
That's this guy.
Yeah, just making sure everyone knows.
I got somebody that's, well, he's not in my household, but he's talking about himself being down 22.
Yeah. Listen, me and Pat are locked in.
Listen, here's the thing. I've been down 22, up 72, down 85. I don't want to hear it.
No disrespect, but you're kind of like the Andy Reid of broadcasters.
Like, what, as far as weight goes?
Yeah, it goes, Andy Reid comes into camp. You know, and then it's
it looks good coming to camp by the time the season's over.
Do I look that big sometimes?
See, that's
no, not anymore. Not anymore.
Exactly. You're nowhere near coach.
Well, there was a time where I was kind of getting out of control.
And Andrew's like three of you.
Well, Jack, don't you get too comfortable.
Yeah, I am a little comfortable. Yeah. I was up at 3:30 this morning.
Yeah. By the way, it's not 20. It's more like 15. And I think everybody's
talking. Well, it's trending back towards 20. I had a stomach bug last week.
Okay.
That's all water weight, man.
Yeah, I know.
And last thing on Rincon is, we were actually on the field for batting practice today, and I said to Jack, physically, when he was standing at batting practice, he reminded me of Dutch. Like, physically, that's what he looked like.
There is a look of it. I mean, there is a look of it. He's banged up last year. Got to stay healthy, but I think there's a lot of optimism. I think there is. I mean, Rob Thompson doesn't say too much about too many guys. I don't know what Boa said about him. Did Boa talk about him at all?
No, he was specifically high on Lizardo and
Miller.
Chris Sanchez. Those are the two guys he brought
up. Chris Sanchez the other day. I mean, you want to talk about somebody who's taken a total 180, and he's always been a great kid, but like confidence wise,
yeah. All right.
Pretty cool.
T-Mac, we appreciate your time.
Thanks,
appreciate
guys.
You, brother.
Yeah.
Jack,
did
good
you have the day
the
off today?
Loss.
Thank you.
I did.
Thank you.
Ike, I'm telling you, I am bored out of my mind.
Yeah.
I literally am bored out of my
mind. You want to take some phone calls?
Sure, I'll take a phone call. Murph goes, you want to take some innings? I said, nah, it's cool. You guys do. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to take
He needs the work.
I don't want to take your bike away. Listen, I'll find something to do.
Hey, one's got to go. Ross Tucker or John Kruk. You can only work with one. Just kidding.
You know what I will tell you? There are some similarities to it, to be honest with you. I mean, there are one's trending toward the other. Yeah, that's all I'll have to say.
Oh, wow.
I just tell you, I'll put my vote in. We keep John Kruk at all costs.
Kruk is here at all costs.
Enough of the Tuck spreads.
Although I will say that Tucker's got a better beer fridge than Kruk does at this point.
Oh, he's very proud of his beer.
Oh, he's very proud of it.
Very proud.
He's very proud of it.
Yeah. Oh, he's got a ball.
Oh, we got a ball. Who went yard?
Okay.
Who did it?
Oh, here we go. These two calls.
You better give it to a little kid. All right. There we go.
Tom All right, guys. McCarthy. Thanks, bud.
I appreciate you.
Jack, best of luck with your weight loss.
Hey,
are you wearing corduroy shorts?
Yeah.
I wore OPs when I was younger, but that was like 35 years ago.
Again, old soul.
Corduroy shorts. Is he wearing sandals?
No, I didn't. I saved everyone my Birkenstocks.
No, he's wearing
Allbirds.
Allbirds. Yeah. I can't wear them anymore. I'm off the side.
I'm a tech bro.
Yeah. That's Jack.
How do you put up with this?
I'm used to it, man. Yes.
Right, boys,
I just hate when he brings it outside amongst company. Yes.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. What worries you the most about this Philly season? The lineup going cold, the bullpen, or the manager? 82.8% at the lineup going cold.
Yep.
Bullpen
at 40. About right.
Yeah, sounds about right. Coming up next, hey, it's baseball. We are in Clearwater. We might as well do the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. And Jesus Lizardo, who we just talked about, will join us at 4:30. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.